Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And Warlike A. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Ephesians 3 and verse 1. And I'm going to read through verse 12. Ephesians 3, 1 through 12. Paul, sir, when I'm done, can you read the Koren for Ephesians 3, 1 through 12? So we'll read it in English, and then we'll read it in Koren. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. If indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me, according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. And we'll read it in Koren.
Are you married?
No, no one's married in this row. Okay. Are you married? Married, married, married. Married, 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 married. Married. How did the rules change when you got married? You start a new house and a new family, right? And you begin a new house with new rules. At least we did in our house. And so God has a new house called the church. And there are new rules that are different from other houses that God has built. This morning I want to think about all history. And I want to think how God has had rules in different houses that he has built. And I want to think how right now, this is a very special time that we live in, called the church. It's different. Let's think for one moment about, here's the beginning of history. This is the very beginning. And in the very beginning, God built a house for Adam, didn't he? And so let me just try to get Okay. We have a house that God built, and we will call this a house for Adam. Now, there were rules in the house that God built for Adam. It wasn't really a house. It was a garden, wasn't it? God built a garden. But it had a fence around it. It was a walled garden. It was a safe place. And the place was safe, but there were rules in this house. Tell me a rule that God gave Adam as soon as he put him in this house. There was a tree. Does anyone remember the name of the tree? What? The tree of what? Absolutely. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What color was the fruit? I have no idea, but I think it should be purple. There it is. All right? And God said to Adam, here's a rule. Don't eat that fruit. Easy. He said also, take care of the garden. He also said, have children. That's an easy rule to keep, isn't it? Fill the earth. He said, rule. So maybe we'll look at some of it. But Adam had rules. Now, there's Adam apparently didn't do well, and so God had another house. And I'm going to call this house the House of Mankind. After Adam sinned, the world was not happy anymore. But God let the world have rules. Some of the same rules. I still want you to be fruitful. I still want you to multiply. But he changed some of the terms. Having children will now be hard. Working in your garden will be hard because weeds will come up. And he says, but he let man be in charge of himself. And that was the rule. Just mankind was by conscience. And what happened was the earth filled with violence. And I'm going to make another house here. This is the house of Noah.
All right, that looked like a boat at all? Okay.
After God judged the world with water,
let's make it more of a boat-looking boat. Okay. Windows. All right.
God gave Noah rules. He gave Noah rules for the world. He said, now, if any man kills another man, then the government, men, are supposed to take his life away. And he said, now, I will let you eat meat at this point, but I don't want you to eat the meat with the blood. And he gave some rules. I don't know what all the rules are, but he gave rules for Adam. Don't eat. He gave rules for all of mankind. Be fruitful, fill the earth, multiply. He gave rules for Noah. He didn't tell Noah, don't eat the fruit. Now, after Noah, there's another house with new rules. And we're going to call this is the house of Abraham. That's in Genesis chapter 12. And he took Abraham out of all of the world and he gave Abraham some special rules. He told Abraham, leave your country, rule number one. Leave your relatives and go into a land that I will show you. Who's the first Jew in the entire world? This guy right here. God started the Jewish race of people here. Not really a race, but he started the Jewish people group with Abraham. And Abraham had rules. And he built Abraham's house. Well, after a while, these people didn't keep the rules very well. So God started a new kind of house rule. Who's the top man in this house? This is Moses. It's a new house with new rules. In fact, what are the top rules in Moses' house? How many are there? 10. This is a house with the 10 rules. It's, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any idols and so on. And so Moses had a house. And then, this is not a house, but then the Lord Jesus came and died for your sin. Every one of these houses, Adam failed. Mankind before the flood failed. After the flood, mankind failed. And then Abraham's children, they failed. And then Moses, right from the beginning, they built a calf of gold, didn't they? They built an idol. And Aaron said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And they broke commandment number one, they broke commandment number two, and they broke every one of these commandments right after they were given. And they failed. And then Jesus Christ came and died for every failure. Did Jesus die for your failures? I failed big time. I'm a terrible person. And Jesus died for me. And he died for me because I couldn't keep the rules. I just saw something on Facebook. And it was three t-shirts. And the first t-shirt was for the firstborn son. And it said, I made the rules. And then there's the t-shirt for the secondborn son. And he said, the rules are made for me. And then it was for the thirdborn son. And said, the rules don't apply to me. And that was me. I said, the rules don't apply to me, but they do. All right, now, after the cross, after Jesus dies on the cross, God builds a new house. What's the house that started after the cross and that we're in right now? It's the church. And the church has rules, doesn't it? And then after the church, the Lord Jesus is going to return from heaven. And he's going to rule on earth for 1,000 years. And I'll just put 1,000 right there. And there'll be rules during that period of time. Now, there are some things we can see right away by looking at this picture. One thing that I can see looking at this picture is God has different rules for different people at different times. I'm not Adam. I'm not Abraham. I'm not before the flood. I'm in the church. And the Bible says for us in the church, there is a law. It's called the law of Christ. There was a law here. It was called the law of Moses. Now, if you trust Jesus as Savior, you're in a special house at a special time that God says was kept secret all the way up until then. It was a big secret. Now here's something else that I hope that you and I can see. Is that history is going somewhere. History will not just go on and on and on, and 1,000,000 years later, you will not still be coming to Oak Ridge Bible Chapel. History is starting at creation, and God is moving history from sin and death to life, no sin in eternity. History is going somewhere, and the Bible says that in the end, God will be all and in all. So this is very important to know, because if you go to school, they give you the idea that we've been here millions of years, and that things are just going anywhere. Evolution would say we could go backwards. We could go sideways. There's no definition of backwards, sideways, or any other way. But God says he is moving history. And in fact, history really is the story of the glory of God. History is his story. It's the story of Jesus Christ. It's the story of God. God's big plan for all of history and the end of it all, according to 1 Corinthians, is that God is all and in all. That's his plan. We call that plan the glory of God. All of history, all of life, is about the glory of God. And God will receive the glory. God will be honored. God is a father, and he will get the honor. And so, I would like to think about, think about Ephesians just for a second so you can see a little bit of what we're talking about. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul begins out saying he's a prisoner. Paul is a prisoner in verse 1. Now, I have been a prisoner before, but it was because of my own sin. Paul was a prisoner because he talked about Jesus. Now, he is a prisoner, but he writes this whole book in prison. In fact, he wrote at least 4 books in prison. God's plan is not stopped by prison. God's plan is not stopped by my failure. God's plan is going forward until Jesus rules, and then he surrenders that rule to God the Father, and for eternity, God will be all and in all, and God will receive the glory. And so chapter 3 and verse 1 says, well, Paul's a prisoner, what's going to happen? And he says, verse 2, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you. Now, maybe every Bible has a different word for stewardship. I don't know. But this word stewardship in English means a responsibility that has been given to Paul. It's a responsibility. That's what the English word means. If I can spell responsibility, I'll be doing good. B-I-L-I-T-Y. It's a responsibility. Paul says, I have a responsibility, but the word, really, the Bible is not written in English, the Bible is written in Greek. The word is oikonomia in Greek. And you might hear the word economy in this word. This is the word for house. And this is the word for rule or law. And Paul is saying, if indeed you have heard of the house rules of the law that God has given for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God's grace which is given to me. And then in verse 9, the same word is used again in verse 9. This is verse 2 and verse 9. In my Bible it says, and I don't know why they change it again. He says it's an administration. It's the same word. It's the laws of the house. Okay, and if you've ever taken economy or economics or home economics, that is the word in English. The house rule. How to have rules for the house. So Paul says, if indeed you have heard of the rules of the house of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. How did Paul get the rules for the church? How did Paul get, and I'm just going to use the open. This is just this period here. But there are rules. Of the house, and there's a word here, revelation. How did Paul get the rules? Did he look in the book of Genesis and get the rules? Did he look in the prophets and get the rules? He said, no, I got these rules by revelation. Revelation, do you see the word reveal in there? It's revealing something or showing something you've never seen before. And Paul says, these rules for this house. We're going to talk about the rules of the other house, but the rules for the church are special, and no one would know them unless God revealed them. And so God made known the rules for the church in this whole last section of your Bible. The church is special with its own rules. And Paul said, it was revealed to me. That's revelation. The Bible is revelation. That means God taught. But there also is another word there. What's that word? It's mystery. It was a mystery. The word mystery means it's something that God shows you now that was never shown before. Is that nice? If someone tells you a secret, you feel like they really like you, or you're special in some way. What God has done for you is He's shared a secret with you. Nobody knew about these things all the way up to here. And God says, and Paul said, it was revealed to me by God. And nobody knew it. It was a mystery, something that has not been shown until now, and God chose it, chose to make it known. And he says, verse 5, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men. Paul just said exactly what I said, which is good that he agrees. It says, but it's now revealed to the holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. Who did God reveal the church rules to? He revealed the church rules to the followers of Jesus, the 12 apostles. And he revealed the church rules not just to the 12 apostles, but to the prophets of the church, like Barnabas, like some of the other men who then wrote those things in this book that we have here. And so it's a mystery that God has made known, and it's only known through the apostles and the prophets. To be specific, and here's the mystery. Verse 6 tells you a little bit what the mystery is. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. What's the word that keeps getting repeated here? I'll read it again. Fellow heirs and fellow members and fellow partakers of the promise. Which is the word that just keeps getting over and over and over? Fellow is correct. The word that keeps getting repeated is that we are fellows, and that means we share 100%. Oops. Who shares 100%? Well, you know, at this point in history, it looked like God was done with all of the nations except the Jewish nation. And God gave rules to Abraham just for the Jewish nation. And then God further separated the Jewish nation by telling them, no way, you should even touch those other people around you. And he gave more rules just for the Jewish nation. So the Jewish people thought, ha, God loves me and nobody else. And then God revealed a secret. I'm going to take the Jewish people, and I'm going to take some of the Gentile people, and for any one of either of these groups who trusts my son to be their savior, I'm going to put them in one body. And they are going to share and share alike. 100%. Is there a promise? It goes to both Jew and Gentile in this body. And the name of the body is the church. That's the mystery. That God took non-Jewish people and Jewish people, put them together in one body, and allowed them to have the same promises and a unique future. that even the Jewish people don't have, that the Gentile people don't have. So this is very, very interesting. So he said, again, I'll read verse 6, to be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs. That means they inherit everything. They get everything from Christ. Fellow members of the body. They are complete members. If you trust Jesus, you're just as much a child of God as if a Jewish person trusts the Lord Jesus. And he says, and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister or servant according to the gift of God's grace. What does he say about the gospel? Well, the gospel's good news. And what does he say it is? It's a gift by grace. God offered out of this people group and all of mankind the same good news for a short period of history. And that's part of the rules of the church. Whoever will come to the Lord will be saved. Now, verse 8, he says, to me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Now, there is a word, unfathomable, that it's hard to pronounce, but it means there's no bottom. He says, the riches of Christ have no bottom. Well, they don't have a top either. They're big. This particular period of history is rich. It's rich. He says, to bring to light the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration. That means house rule. It's the same word, oikonomia, of the mystery which for ages was hidden in God who created all things. This mystery, this church that you and I are a part of when we trust Jesus as Savior, never was talked about. A lot of things are talked about about the end of the world. In the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis talks about these things. The book of Genesis talks about mankind, Noah, Abraham, and it hints at a Moses coming, but it never talks about the church. It talks about this period of history where the king will come and the scepter will not be removed from Judah until this king comes and rules the earth. But right now, you're a special period of history called the church, which has been hidden and gone. And then he says, I'm just going to skip to verse 11. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose, which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you understand eternal purpose? What's your purpose in school? To graduate? Maybe your purpose in school is to become a doctor. That's your purpose. Your purpose is not eternal. You know what's going to happen? Let's say you go to school. You get A's. All right? Good job. Your purpose is to become a doctor. So you go to medical school, right? And you pass medical school. Good job. And then you do your, whatever doctors do, they practice. And then they award you your doctorate degree. And you become a doctor. And then you get to be 60 years old, and you're too old to be a doctor. And where's the purpose? Your whole life was built on this purpose of becoming a doctor. What God says in the church is there's, with history, there's an eternal purpose. God wants you to have little purposes in life, like being a doctor or a nurse or a worker or get married. Those are all short purposes in time, aren't they? God has a purpose for eternity, and he wants you to be working because he is working out his eternal purposes to one day bring Christ in, and one day that God will be all and in all, so that your life and everybody's life will come together to the glory of God. Now, there are some things my goal was to show you that there's different houses with different rules. Now I just want to think about, on your chart, you have each of the houses listed. On about 2 minutes, I want to think of house number one. The rules for house number one, Adam's house. In every one of these houses, and we're going to think of Adam's house, God revealed or he gave a responsibility. It's maybe easier for us to understand the church. We just read, God said that by revelation was made known to me. The church rules were revealed. God, the church was given a new responsibility. But Adam was given a responsibility. Think of Adam's house, and you already told me. Adam was responsible to be a farmer. Adam was responsible to have children. Adam was responsible to not eat that fruit right there. So these are the rules. And Adam got all these rules. And then there's a test. And the test is for Adam, will he eat? Did Adam pass the test?
No.
Adam failed. Now I want to tell you something that's going to come true for each of these houses, or sometimes we call them dispensations, okay? Because that's the big word, dispensations. For each of these dispensations, then he ate and there was failure. Oh no! Is God done with history? Adam failed. Is God done with everybody? No, God is not done with everyone. What did God do for Adam? He gave him a coat of skins, didn't he? He covered his nakedness. He gave Adam a promise that one day the Savior would come into the world, didn't he? And so what happens is, a responsibility is given. There is a test. There always is a failure in each of these periods of history. And then there is judgment. You know what judgment is, right? When you go to court and you were speeding. And they say, $120, pay up. Okay, that's the judgment. What was Adam's judgment? There was maybe more than one. In this house, Adam got the responsibility of being a farmer, have children, not eat that fruit. He was tested, he failed, he ate the fruit, and God judged. What did God do to judge Adam? He kicked him out of the garden, number one. God is holy and he separates himself from sin. Adam got kicked out of the garden. Adam also died on the day that he ate of it. He was separated from God who loved him. What about for Eve? What happened for Eve for the rest of her life? She would have children, but would it be happy? When mothers are having babies, are they going, ha, 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 ha? No, they're going, I'll never have another baby again. Because that's part of the judgment, that women would have pain in childbirth. And then what about work? Are you thinking, I can't wait until Monday morning when I can get up at 4 a.m. and go to work? There's something hard about work, isn't there? There's something happy, but there's something unhappy. And God said, Adam, part of the judgment will be your work will not be happy like it was before the fall. This is something to remember. We're going to look at every house. And we're going to see every time God shows a person a new responsibility, he gives him a test. Will he pass? Men always fail. And then there's judgment. And then God moves history ahead a little bit. And he moves it ahead. And he moves it ahead until... I'll give you a sneak preview. I fail. Wait. Fail. 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 Even the church. Fail. And then when Christ is personally ruling the earth, men fail until finally God takes over. And he says, I've shown you that when you run your own life, you fail. Now for us, it would be right now, you turn your life over to the Lord Jesus right now. You let Jesus succeed for you. You let Jesus be your success. You let Jesus take your sin and do what only he can do. His work and not yours. And he will do it. The story, even though it's failure, 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 is God the glory, God the glory, God the glory, God is all in all. That's where history is going. History is going somewhere. I would challenge you to think about the Lord Jesus Christ has put you in a period of history that's special. And there are rules for this period of history. And I want you to think about this, and we're going to cover all these periods of history together. It's exciting. It's new for many people. And what it will do, it will lead you to praise God and say, God is good. God is competent. And I trust his goodness and his competence. Would you trust his salvation today if you never have? Let's close in a word of prayer.